Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 470. It's funny looking, I'm looking straight across the table at an empty spot because Pat doesn't like to sit next to people. So.
No.
Just kind of funny.
Mike gets frisky.
Oh, and Mike, that face said Mike agrees.
Well, he hasn't seen us in a while. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, I've seen him, just,
yeah. Well, yeah, but he hasn't joined us. Intimately.
Right, intimately.
You've seen him in flashes.
I saw you all hot and sweaty.
You know? I did. Very hot, very sweaty.
But it was fun. We had fun. Good time was had by all.
I thought I was going to die. I didn't die.
I'm still there. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Mike.
Pat.
Spencer.
That's the crew. This motley crew. So, any news? Anybody see anything? I can't remember.
Well, yeah, Dick Donner died.
Well, Richard Donner died, yes.
Who died?
Dick Donner.
Yeah, Dick Never Donner. Heard him called that.
I'm sure he got called Dick a lot.
Sometimes. So does Pat, but his, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with his name.
Sometimes not.
But again, 91, so you can let me have it, but I'm going to say he had a pretty good life. We were just looking through his filmography and his TVography, and he was directing westerns in the 60s and all sorts of stuff. So I think he had a pretty varied and pretty good life.
He had the Superman run and the Lethal Weapon run.
Yeah.
That's enough for...
Even The Omen, you know, all over the place.
I heard on another podcast that he did a lot of, he did some Twilight Zone episodes.
Yeah.
Dave said he did one of the
Shatner
movie,
one.
The Shatner movie.
But he didn't, not the Shatner,
the
show? The episode.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was John Lithgow in the
movie
version.
Oh, did he do the movie or the TV?
No, he did
the TV
show.
Yeah.
But it was Shatner on the TV show, it was John Lithgow in the movie.
Yeah. The problem there, you already assume Lithgow's insane, or Shatner, a little more normal at the beginning, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, before he became...
Yeah.
It's like Jeff Goldblum. If you watch his older stuff, he's actually acting. Now it's...
Goldblum.
Here's a couple million dollars, go boom it up.
Yeah. It's like in The Shining, you know, Nicholson's already half crazy, you know, just by from the beginning, so.
Yeah. He was already full torque crazy.
Yeah.
That's why he works so well as a Joker. They just put white makeup on him and said, go be Jack.
Yeah. Now, Brandon did ask what our favorite Richard Donner movie was. So that's why we were looking through the filmography.
Superman 2 or Goonies?
The problem with Superman 2 is...
Nothing.
No.
Don't ruin my childhood. Don't.
The Superman...
Nope.
Superman 2 is fine. However, it's not his movie. He was fired, and 80% of it was reshot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I take it back then.
Richard Lester.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Goonies then.
Yeah, I got to go Goonies too.
Yeah.
That's one I saw once in the theater and never again.
So really?
Maybe I need to revisit. But looking at like Lost Boys, Lethal Weapon. I mean, Lethal Weapon is a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah, Lethal Weapon
movie.
Is an amazing movie.
Superman the movie for me. I love that movie dearly.
Yeah.
Here's why I like Superman 2 better than Superman 1 is you get a complete recap of Superman 1 in the first 30 minutes of Superman 2, so you don't have to watch it. It's kind of nice.
You get the gist of it. I gotcha.
They're both awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, I enjoy them both.
Spencer's thinking The Omen, so you know he's out of
that. That just had a huge effect on me when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, you'll believe a man could fly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the ending got a little wonky.
Richard Donner created, you know, how to tell the modern superhero movie with that Superman taking it seriously and with with humor.
Yes and no. Yes, all that. It was funny. I was trying to show it to my son years ago. And Superman doesn't show up for the first hour of the movie. Even the credits are 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it was just, he got bored and wandered off. You know, it's just because Superman wasn't in it.
But that's the attention span of young people.
It is. But.
I get it.
It was just interesting watching it in that regard.
But part of it is also you have to go through the journey with him to become Superman. Where in modern comic book movies, after the opening credits, they got their costume.
It's just so emotional that first hour with Pa Kent, the way he dies. That was a great scene. And
that was a tornado, right?
Yeah. And he let him die. He's like, too bad, Deb.
And before he leaves for the Fortress of Solitude, when he's standing in the wheat field with Ma Kent, I just love it so much.
Yeah.
And the music. The music.
Oh, the John Williams score. But
yeah, nothing's been better.
And then, of course, there's the banana splits, which...
Well, yeah, Dave was very excited about that. So, okay, now, well, yeah, but again, 91, I'd be thrilled to hit 91. I'd be thrilled to hit 54 right now. any other news? I don't remember anything. I'm hearing a bunch of stuff from the new previews I need to look through, like Inferno's back and some different things.
At least with that... It's an actual mini series. It's not like spread throughout the, you know, you have to buy every issue of. Now, I'm sure they're going to have plenty of tie-ins to it, but at least, like, it hopefully seems like the main thing's actually going to be a mini series, you know, for once. Out of this, you know, whole new, like, X-Men stuff.
I do like that there's a DC Connect, because there were a couple books in there. I was like, oh, okay, I'll check that out.
It's just, like, There was a tweet on Twitter where a guy saying he finds it baffling. I think he's more of a creator, but he was saying he finds it baffling that the industry is still beholden to this archaic print thing, talking about previews.
That is the industry.
Right. Well, and I responded back to him. I just said, DC just went back to doing a print book. I said, my assumption is sales were low. I said, because people literally did not know what was coming, and even me, as the person doing the ordering, had no idea what was coming. But what I think the guy forgets, you know, who knows? I don't know who he is. I didn't research. But you're selling a print product,
yeah.
And people don't want to look, you know, have to read on their computer or you know their phone to see what print
it's
product
like
is coming.
If you do a movie. And you don't do a trailer.
Right. The only trailer you have to hunt out on your phone to find the trailer.
And it's on the you know QR code of the bottom
and
of the
right.
top.
You don't even know what you're looking for
right.
either.
So
right.
if you don't broadcast, people don't know what you're putting out.
Yeah, like we had to do the FOC last week because of the holiday, so we had to do it on Thursday. And I'm looking at and there were books I had never heard of. Which blew my mind. There's a Brian Azzarello, Alex Malev Joker book, Suicide Squad Hunting the Joker book, black label, oversized, prestige format book coming. I did not know of until I was putting the order in. And guess how many pre-orders I had for it?
Four. Five,
two.
Two.
I didn't know it was coming
right.
out.
Right. I'm like, how do I order this?
I was the day he was moving, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm like, how do I order this $7 book with two pre-orders? You know, on a Thursday, so I couldn't even have the weekend where I like to on Saturday post the list and say, here's what's coming. You know, the first time I saw it was literally as I was on the computer, and it was just like, what the hell? There was another book that should have been big that I had no pre-orders for, and again, that I just heard of. And it's like, you know, it just doesn't work that way, guys.
Well, and the thing is, they can argue, well, you know, you should be looking into these things and in this, that, you know. But here's the thing. You are running a store by yourself. You're not Barnes & Noble where you have a purchasing department. That's their job.
Right. There's only so much time in the day. And it used to be I'd go through the previews monthly and I'd see all the stuff. I'd see what's coming up. People would be talking about stuff and we'd interact on it. And it would be great.
Well, we know about it 2 months ahead of time to be able to talk
right.
about
it. Well, and that's the thing that people forget is you see it 2 months ahead of time. And then maybe you're reminded a month out. And then I'm ordering 3 weeks before it ships. So I'm familiar with this. But the DC Connect, I'm not going, you know, because you go to their website, you click download, you wait 3 minutes, it's still spinning. And it's like you're trying to read it on your phone. Doesn't work. You know,
well, here's what DC screwed up for me. I don't know what they're putting out at all.
Yeah.
Literally. So I get previews. What do I see? AWA. Boom.
Yeah.
Aftershock. All these other different companies putting out different books that make me go, oh, that's interesting, and I know it's coming out, and now I can order it.
And without previews, you'd have to go to each of those sites, or those companies would have to do a much better job promoting their own work that they don't do.
And to be honest, I would not do that. If,
no, I wouldn't either, Pat. I agree with you.
No, I'm not going to go hunt for it.
And I don't have...
If you want me to buy your product, you got to let me know it's there or I won't.
Yep. And I don't have the time or energy to promote every AWA book, every Ahoy book, every book. It's just, there's just not enough time. And, you know, there's a tool out there that I make use of. Help me.
Well, going through the listed previews or the previous one, I'm like, oh, Mark Russell's doing these two other books. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to order these. Why? Because I like Mark Russell.
Yeah.
I know about it because it's in previews. But DC doesn't put anything out. I can't even find it online, even when I'm looking for it.
Yeah, well, you have to go to their website, and they're like, oh, well, just direct people there. It's like, no, I don't have time to play traffic cop.
No.
Well, and then what ads are they seeing for DCBS, what ads are they seeing for Amazon, and you know, how many sales would you
Well, and that was the one thing where I did note on the DC website, when you click on it, it says ordered, you know, get now, and when you click on it, it sends you to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it's like... Thanks. You know, how much work are they doing promoting your book? You know, where's Amazon running the DC ads that you're beholden to them? But they're big volume. Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, but again, if I go to the Barnes & Noble at South Hills Village and I say, hey, can you recommend something for DC?
They wouldn't have
We got
clue.
Batman.
Yeah.
Okay, which Batman? We got Batman.
We have that Batman so and it's, this Batman. Yeah. Thank you.
They have a lot of salespeople at their disposal, but they definitely have to give us the tools. I admit I do not use previews like I should, like I used to. I used to go through that a minimum of 3 times in a month, and now more and more I find myself the day that it's, you know, right before I have to put the order in is the first time I'm looking. And that's on me. That's on just life getting complicated. But so I'm glad DC's back with their print, but it was just funny, this guy making this comment. It's like, I get what you're saying, but, you know, you small pulp press guy, no one is going to know about your book. You can tweet as much as you want, but unless they're following you, they're never going to see your tweets. Unless they're following you on Facebook, they're never going to see your posts. So what are you doing to promote your book is really what I wanted to ask him. But I didn't want to get into that can of worms, but it's like, you know, if you can make it on Kickstarter, cool, do it.
Right.
But if you want to reach a bigger audience.
Right, but to the point you've made before about that, you're not going to carry something that's on Kickstarter because the people that are really excited about it already got it.
Right. Yeah, and it's always retail, you know, tier, order 20. No, I don't need 20.
You need
20. That's like, there's a customer that's putting out a book, and he's like, you know, as a store, how many would you order? And I really think he was expecting me to say 100. And I'm like, 5. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
You know, it's...
Unless he incentivizes you to order 100, there's no reason for you to order 100.
Right, and I'm not going to sell 100 of some random small press book. I mean, I barely sell 100 Batman at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, you sell 100 Batman.
And what's your marketing plan?
Yeah.
You know, besides having me buy it, you know, so. But nobody thinks about that.
I'm sure they'll do a signing for you.
Yeah. I am very happy. Carolyn's a big South Park fan, and I finally saw the Underpants Gnomes episode. So now I completely understand it.
What's step two?
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing most. And even Marvel, you know, some of these books that they come out with, it's like, what's your plan? Like DC, this Ruby Justice League book.
What's that for?
I don't know. And are you advertising to those people? Because I could not even begin to tell you who that's for. And there's a lot of books like that. Like, you know, the U.S. Agent book, I guess, came out because of Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yeah.
But you know, for a lot of them, it's just like, who's this for? I don't understand. So,
we like the Shang-Chi book, which I read.
Yeah, and I'm selling through, which is weird because this new one is selling better than the last one. But the movie's no closer to being here, so I don't totally understand.
Well, that's just it. I'm not sure who the book is for.
Yeah.
Because Shang-Chi, when you explain to me who Shang-Chi is, I'm expecting Bruce Lee is James Bond. That's not what this is.
Okay.
It's not bad. That is who Shang-Chi is. But that's not what it is. And what I think it is that's what the movie's going to be. So it's really introducing audiences to the character. But the people that are coming into the comic book shops to grab that book are already going to go see the movie.
Yeah.
It would work better kind of the other way if you like the movie, check out his earlier adventures.
Yeah. So, we'll see. But, yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I didn't read the thread. I just kind of posted my quick little thing, just DC disagrees apparently because they went without and now they're back to doing it. So that's just, I don't think they'd go back to doing it if it wasn't cost effective.
I think if you wait in 3 months, your sales will disagree because you'll see DC uptick.
Yeah.
People will know.
And again, the other point I made to him, I said, it's not Batman and Superman. It's not the big ones. It's these little mini series that people don't even know exist. And all of a sudden they show up, this Justice League Last Ride. Nobody knew what that was. Nobody knew it was coming. And all of a sudden it's on the shelf and you're like, unless they did a heck of a job with house ads, but I don't think they did. So, yeah, it's just a case of, awareness. And, every time I look at Marvel and DC marketing, it's all movies, all TV. The DC Comics thing is not everyday promoting comics. Same with Marvel. Marvel is all about Loki and everything. When there's no Loki book, what are we doing here?
Well, what I noticed in the DC books, in like last month, typically there was some kind of ad in there for like Pride Month. There was a Joker book ad, which again.
They're advertising the YA stuff a lot, which is great.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But again,
I don't know if that's the right market.
I don't know that. If you look at the demographic of who comes in and buys a comic book off the shelf, it's probably not the same demographic as to who's even going to be interested. Maybe their children will be interested in that, but I don't think the store's abnormal that 30 and 40 year old men are the ones coming in here buying comic books. I know that's a broad generalization. I know you have women customers and you have some younger customers, but by and large, anytime I come in here, there's a bunch of guys my age.
Yeah. And that's the bulk of it. But I do have good number of women customers and stuff. I still remember when I made a comment, there was a Wednesday and there were three separate groups of women in the store. And I tweeted, I posted on Facebook and some guy got all snippy. It's like, you call the media? What are you? This is why they don't come, whatever. And then woman who was here, she's like, one of them was me. It was great. I wasn't being slighting. I said, whatever.
Yeah, but some of your other customers would see that as advertising. Hey, hurry up and come here. There's women in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we all know who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of it.
Sorry, Spencer, I didn't mean to call you.
It's okay. But, yeah, just
busted.
Trying to think of any other news. I can't really think of anything. Everything blurs. I got to take better notes. The memory's not getting any better.
Ryan Otley's doing a Hulk book I saw. I think that came out last week.
Yeah, with Donny Cates.
Yeah, which might be intriguing because I like both of them.
Josh.
Who are you?
That's a podcast.
It was perfect. The other week, Brandon opened a pop right as I was starting. I'm like, nice.
I was hoping I would walk in as you were trying to get out your intro. Casting couch?
Yeah.
Yes.
He made me do uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
That's how you get on the podcast now.
Yeah. You gotta Your grandfather did.
That's good.
That means only one finger.
Hey! We're live. Jeez.
I was going to say something that I knew he would have to beep out, but I refrained, but now I feel like I shouldn't have.
Oh, man. I got a second
talk. Nope. See how that goes? Now I make him. He has to
I need to tell Tim something.
Colin had to walk away because I made the comment.
Don't need to bleep that out.
No, not at all. I've said what? I've said much worse.
No bleeping.
No.
Yeah, you've said much worse. No, that's not going
to
get beeped.
I've said much worse.
I had to beep that word. I had to.
One time.
One time. That's okay.
Mike's dropped multiple F-bombs. I dropped one word one yeah. time. And it wasn't... it wasn't the pejorative sense. So, okay, I get why you did.
So, what word was it? You'll never know.
Go back and find that podcast. It was like 200 ago.
No, I don't even remember.
You can infer what I was saying.
Yes. Yeah, news-wise. Sorry, that was Josh, an old podcaster. I had a kid. Doesn't show up anymore. Jerk face.
When you have a kid, then you won't show up anymore.
Right, when I have my next kid, yeah. Okay, no problem. No problem, yeah. I'll have one about as soon as Marley has one, yeah.
Wait a second. I've already made comments about that before, so
no,
that joke's not cool.
No.
Ruh-roh.
No. Marley's not having no babies.
You wear protection? No.
Where are we going?
I don't know where Pat's going
get
with that.
Back on the road.
But I'm trying to think. I can't think of any other news that I could think of that anything that happened. But I'm still unpacking and 4th of July and going to a friend of hers house and.
You got all your digits, so...
It was in Shaler, and it was kind of funny, because it was like, there was one guy talking, and I'm like, you're like the original Pittsburgher, aren't you? Just, you know. Then we went out, and down, and I'm like, people really... I thought it was just a joke.
Yeah.
And it was just, I enjoyed that. Yeah. Just kind of watching, fascinated, just like, wow. But, so yeah, it's kind of a lost weekend of unpacking. Got the library set up the way I want. Almost. I need to move one bookcase into it. So.
The library.
So again, the important things out of the way.
Yes. Yes. Well, it was a case. It was mostly a case of I have all these bookshelves and they just need to go against the wall where I wanted them, and now we can unpack all the books and stuff. So it's just a step process.
But. This weekend's going to be the conservatory.
No, it's my den. Actually, this weekend is my den. So. But little things like I can't bring my guitars over until I have a place to put them because there's no point just leaving them standing somewhere and having some cat knock one over. So.
Well, once you're closing on your other house?
I think it's either next Thursday or Friday. So
you might want to get a hitch.
I know,
to get
I will. Here. I will, but it just last weekend was kind of lost. And
I understand.
We'll see how this weekend goes, but that's my goal is to get that done. There are extenuating circumstances, so... So yeah, I got nothing else. Let me check for any other questions, but I don't think so. I'm not seeing any alerts. Nope. So, Mike, since you graced us with your presence. Oh, you don't want to start? Okay.
Oh, I'll start. What book did I read?
You read Barbaric.
Thank you.
I read Barbaric, and I recommended Barbaric to everyone I saw.
Who put that out?
That was by Vault.
Vault does some pretty good books.
This was absolutely fantastic, but it was crazy.
Yes.
So this barbarian is, he's funny. He's not like Conan. He's very funny. He gets swindled by the three witches?
Not really. He didn't have a whole say in it. They just kind of did it to him.
Yeah, like these three witches took control of him and manipulate him and make him do their bidding. And he doesn't like witches. That's not the cool part. His battle axe talks.
Yes,
and he likes
blood. And then when he gets enough blood, he gets drunk. But no one else can hear the axe talking. So he's like sitting.
They see the barbarian.
He's talking to the axe in the bar, and they're like, "Yeah, you're cut off." It's like I haven't even had anything to drink yet.
Yeah. And then it was just a lot of fun. It was just a very interesting take on.
But the witches have cursed him to only do good.
Yes.
And he's a barbarian. He wants to kill.
Yeah.
So he can't kill just willy-nilly.
And then he rescues the one woman, and he finds out...
She's a witch.
She was being burned at the cross, and she's a witch, and he doesn't like witches.
Yeah. But she's pretty cool, too, because she has all these tattoos of weapons on her, and they actually, peels the sword off her arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really cool. But the art was good. It was just a lot of fun.
And I saw a thing from the writer today. It's going to be 3 oversized issues and then come out as a hardcover. But yeah, that first issue was a lot of fun.
So there's 2 more after
that? Yeah. That's just the first arc. Apparently there'll be more. But yeah, that, I enjoyed that
a lot. Colin recommended it. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was not expecting it to be that much fun, but I had forgotten last week to take home the week before's books. They were I left them here, actually, because there was no point in taking them home just to move them. So I had forgotten. So I had to read some of this week's, or last week's books that we were going to talk about this week, last week's.
Daredevil 31 by Chip Zdarsky. There's a reason for that. And it's basically the continuation of Daredevil in jail trying to... He's recovering from wounds of, like, people trying to kill him. I think it was, like, the 3rd time they tried to kill him. And he's pissed off. So he goes and confronts the warden, knocks out the warning beacon in the warden's office, and threatens, like, you know what? I'm coming after you. You know, I'm sick of this because I know you're trying to kill me. And the warden's, like, trying to play cool, and he's like, no. And then Elektra / Daredevil, she's going after, is it Izzy? Is that how you say it, Colin?
Yeah.
The mobster lady?
The mobster woman who's, like, trying to take control.
Yeah, it's probably short for Isabel. Yeah.
Yeah. And who's working with Hammerhead and some underlings and stuff like that. I know I'm forgetting something.
Bullseye.
Oh, yeah. How can I forget Bullseye?
Who is this angel person?
I think he's hallucinating. Because if you watch... So, he's not taking his meds and he's, like, you know, obviously crazy. And then this archangel appears in front of him and says, why not kill everyone?
Yeah, so...
And he starts taking shots at people in town. And he's like, one down and like 1,300,000 something to go.
Yeah.
But they have that stupid bullseye thing on his head, like in the movie.
Yeah, well, he had the costume on.
Real quick, the preview for next issue said citywide homicide. I thought that was...
Oh, so he's probably going to go take some more people.
I thought that was really cool.
Okay. And then this book continues just to amaze me. Crossover 7 by Chip Zdarsky. So it's usually written by Donny Cates, but Zdarsky takes this over.
Let me just say, this was brilliant. I love
Beyond
this.
Brilliant, yeah.
This is like one of the best things I've ever read.
I don't want to ruin it or anything, but basically, Steve Murray is on the run. We find out who the heck is Steve Murray. We don't know. It comes out, it's comic book writer Chip Zdarsky.
That's his real name.
And he's on the run because they got Brian K. Vaughan, who's another famous comic book writer. And he's on the lam. He's like a short order cook and all these other things.
He's in Canada.
Yeah, it's just not working out because somebody's out to kill him and whatever. And who shows up? Chip Zdarsky. Comic book Chip Zdarsky. He's like, I'll save you. I'll protect you.
From an issue of Sex Criminals.
Yeah, and they kept referencing Sex Criminals. Like, oh, I wrote this one issue. They're out to get me. And then there's a scene where they're laying in bed.
Yeah, they're spooning each
other. Chip and Chip are spooning each other. I'm going, where's this going? Where is this going? And it continues where somebody is actually trying to kill him. They knock him off the road while they're in the car. Chip and Chip are in there. Comic book Chip says, I'll save you.
Yeah, because like comic book Chip is like this confident, brash, just guy. And then...
Regular Chip is not so much.
Yeah. But it has so many layers because that's his online persona, too.
Yeah.
It was just
comic book Chip bites it. And then then you go to the very last page and you're like, because you know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's the Powers people.
Yeah.
Brian Bendis's power, Detective Powers, and his partner.
Christian Walker and Dina Pilgrim.
Yeah. And if you've not read Powers, read the early issues of Powers. They're incredible.
I got the first big collection.
So... They're like, okay, we're going to investigate this. What? You're like, it's tying everything in.
I like this series, but I feel like a lot of times I get done reading an issue and I get like I got homework. Because like now it's like I got so much of these things I got to try to read to see how much it plays into.
I did not read Power, so I had no idea who those characters were at the end.
Yeah, it's... It was amazing. I was just jaw-dropping. Like Dave was saying, this is like
one of my favorite comics of all time is Animal Man 26 by Grant Morrison. And in that issue, Grant Morrison, Animal Man meets his creator, Grant Morrison. And this is
puts him in? Yeah.
This is like the next step.
It crosses the line, and you're just like, what? And they're literally talking about Brian K. Vaughan being disappeared and stuff like that.
The funniest thing is too, he's the real, the real Chip Zdarsky in the book says that comic book characters are going after, he thinks comic book characters going after the creator, so he says
that
either Howard the Duck or Jughead is after me.
Yeah, he's making all these references and you're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. It's 7 issues in and it's probably one of my favorite books.
Oh, it was just,
and it was fantastic.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got.
Okay, I guess I will go next. Redemption number 5. I was a little disappointed by it. It was a little by the numbers.
Yeah.
Very much as soon as the girl gets to the town, she gets captured, they're going to hang her, and who should come rescue her? The old gunfighter. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is... We've seen this before. I did like how the showdown out in the middle of the street, that did not last.
Yeah.
Like, she got shot in the side, and boom, the other girl's head was blown off.
Right.
It was like, okay.
I think, like you said, to change up a little bit, I think it would have been nice to have her survive at the end. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It'd be a little bit of a, swerve, or, not the kind of, you said, like, paint by the number kind of deal. And, like, then that way, if you ever kind of want to dip back in, you kind of have the,
Yeah. Well, it's set up for a second run, because at the end, she chases down the Reverend, whatever his name was, Sweetwater Black.
Something, yeah.
He was basically cordoning off the water so the residents couldn't get to it. She kills him and all the residents come rush in and, hey, now we're free. We don't have to listen to this guy anymore. I mean, he's dead. Kind of the return of that town can kind of happen now. Like I said, it wasn't horrible. And there were parts of the rest of the series I felt were somewhat by the numbers, or that it's nothing new, nothing we hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
But even where it was things we've seen before, like Bite Size, for example, because that was every 80s kids movie, they did something different with
it.
With this, I felt like they just stayed with the formula. Wasn't bad. It was a fine story, but don't go into it thinking you're going to get something you haven't seen, which I said, is a little disappointing. And the last one that I read was Shang-Chi number 2, which was Shang-Chi and Captain America. So Shang-Chi, he's in charge of the Five Weapons Society. They find out that Lady Iron Fan is going to be selling a cosmic cube. Well, he knows he had more resources than the other organization. Like, the Hand was there, AIM was there, Hydra was there, but he had more resources to be able to buy the cosmic cube to safeguard it. So they show up, and at first it's an auction, but it's kind of like, all the villains are there. MODOK is getting pissed off at people because they're trying to give him a high five. And, he has in T-Rex arms. So he's not real happy about that. Everybody's, kind of whatever. And they're like, oh, wait, Shang-Chi, no, he's a hero. And they're like, well, no, he runs, the Five Weapons Society. And they're like, his father was, the former leader. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, he was great. I mean, we tried to kill each other, but we loved each other. It's like, oh, okay. So, as they're bidding for it, he bids like 20 billion Hong Kong dollars. And then the Hand was like, well, we bid 30 billion. And they're like, well, you don't have 30 billion. I said, well, actually, we do, because we killed this other guy. And before that happened, we took his money. So, and I, oh, okay, so you have 30 billion. Shang-Chi realizes he's going to get outbid, so he calls in Captain America, and he has like a little cufflink radio, and Captain America storms in, and you know, they fight and get the Cosmic Cube. It's a fun book. I'll put it that way. It's not a great book, but it is a fun book. The art's cool. It's very, very kinetic. Like, you know, trying to take a kung fu movie and put it on a page is difficult, but I think it does a good job with that.
Is this an ongoing or?
Yeah, this one's it's supposed to be an ongoing. Okay. But it clearly rolls right off of the last mini. But you don't have to read that in order to enjoy. And this was only the second issue. The first issue was him and Spider-Man team up, and now it's him and Captain America, and Wolverine is the next issue. So it's been pretty good. Spence.
Bye, Tim.
Green Arrow's 80th anniversary spectacular. So this is like all the other ones are just, you know, couple page, you know, stories by a whole bunch of different creators. There were some good ones. There was like very kind of like kind of cheesy, cartoony of Green Arrow and Speedy when he's a little young, real young, trying to take out a burglar who could turn invisible. And then like there was a. Like there was a couple different ones like with just Green Arrow and Green Arrow and Black Canary, and then towards we got to the end they had stories with, you know, Connor Hawk got a story and Roy got a story, but there was Mike Grell, just a couple page stories, and it was basically just Green Arrow and Shadow shooting people on a dock with arrows, but it was, you know, it was great just because it was Steve, Mike Grell doing, you know, some Green Arrow pages again.
The Mike Grell?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wish he had done one of the covers, because I think it was Liam Sharp or somebody, Finch? Somebody else did the Shadow cover that Grell should have done, and I'm like...
Let's see, I got the Howard Porter one, and I was pretty happy with the way that one turned out. But yeah, just, you know, if you're just good, you know, if you're a fan of the character, just of doing different highlights of, you know, throughout the years within different, you know, creators, getting, like, there was kind of like an old man Ollie story with Jeff Lemire and Santino, is that the, he who was on his Green Arrow run and did Gideon Falls with, there's a lot of like reunions of creative teams and stuff, which was pretty cool. And then Infinite Frontier Secret Fires. Again, this is kind of just this was a bigger book that had a whole bunch of different vignette stories in it. So it's a Mr. Bones from like the DOA. He is in charge now of trying to keep an eye on like all the different like multiverses and stuff like that. So he's listening to these different cassettes of somebody, they don't identify who, but somebody who's got all these different information on people. So like there's a cassette on the I forget which Earth it is, but the President Superman, like there's a cassette on him, there's a cassette on himself, the Totality, a couple other ones, but then again, they're just like, trying to just, give highlights and like kind of sneak peeks of what is kind of the new normal with after the whole death metal and all that kind of stuff, and I thought it was pretty good. And then Teen Titans Academy. It was their annual, but I like how they had it set up as the 2001 yearbook. So we got a couple different, like the first story involved Stitch, who's a little girl who, or I think she's non-binary, so, but it's made out of like this magical cloth that I guess Dr. Faith somehow was able to bring back to life. They didn't really go too much into that, but she wants to, you know, she's lonely, so she wants to make some new friends, so she decides to run for class president. And, like, they're in the gymnasium, and, like, one of the basketball rims start to fall, and she saves it. So, you know, people, cheering her and, you know, telling her good job and stuff for that. And then there's a story where Raven has, like, a vision of Beast Boy and Cyborg running from, like, it looks like the tower is, like, collapsing. And it flashes into, like, that future state stuff where they were kind of, like, merged together. And then it comes back to where she's dancing with Beast Boy. And what she's done is, like, there's, like, a party going on at the Titan's Tower. And she stopped time for, like, a couple minutes where so her and Beast Boy can just kind of, like, slow dance without all the stuff going on. And then there was... since there was one, I think the last one dealt with Red X and like how he was tracking these people who were just taking in foster kids just so they could get the check from the state, and they weren't really taking care of the kids and stuff.
That's just called the foster care system.
Well, yeah. So, like, this new kid is getting dropped off, and so he breaks in the door, and he's, like, fighting them, and he takes them out, but one of the people they're living in the house, like, ends up stabbing him in the leg with not a butter knife, but, like, just, like, a normal, like, household knife. It's after he takes him out, but he's, like, taking a seat there until he can kind of, like, bandage himself up. And one of the kids that are standing there is just kind of, like, looking at him. And he's talking to him, and then it seems like he takes him in. And they don't identify who that kid is, but they do, like, a shattery, like, back shot of them. Of who you think Red X is, and this kid, years later, grown up, getting ready to go to the Titan's Tower. He must have one of those new kids must be either the new Red X or is working with the Red X and stuff. But it was really cool. And in between each story, they would have like a double page spread of like some of the kids like class photos and just other kind of normal like yearbook kind of things, which I thought was pretty cool. And then the last one I'll talk about is the grand size Amazing Spider-Man Chameleon Conspiracy. So there's basically two stories going on here with it, and within the story is Peter, who's trying to help his lab partner from school, who is in a jam with these criminals who are trying to use that technology that he can predict the future. So Spider-Man has got Ned Leeds to help him, save him, and they're able to rescue him in there, but they're trying to escape, and they're on this huge, big floating casino, and the power goes out, and Peter's lab partner, he has to do some quick science things to give him enough power that they can at least get out of New York City. There's this fun scene where it's time to go down, and like it hits this guy has like a little roof garden, and like how they have like those like little pipe chimneys and stuff coming out of the roof. it just nicks the top of it and bends it, and the guy's screaming at him, telling him that he's gonna sue him and stuff, like, you know, just like normal, like, New Yorker kind of stuff. And then, so they're able to land, and the Peter's lab partner decides to give Spider-Man the thing that he made it that can tell, that can kind of predict the future, because, you know, he just doesn't have anything to do with it anymore. He's worried that, you know, that, oh, he thinks, you know, like, Spider-Man will know what to do with it and stuff like that. So then the other story is Peter's sister, who's a spy, she's been having this long conversation with the Chameleon, and we'll learn more about, like, the, what the Chameleon's, like, backstory, and, like, there was a school of Chameleons, like, there's, like, a whole, like, there's more than one, because whenever Peter's on that ship fighting some of these other bad guys, there are there other Chameleons that have took, like, the people's spots there. So I guess there's, like, a whole ring of them, and they make you believe that Peter's sister is actually a Chameleon, but they kind of leave it up at the end, because whenever they meet up at the end, Peter gives her the device that can kind of predict the future, with, because, like, again, he thinks that she'll be able to, you know what to do with it and stuff like that. And the person who's been working with the Chameleon, the forger, the people who killed Peter's parents, who's been wanting that, and then so she destroys it, and then, like, giving it back. So I don't know if she's, they're kind of, they don't, like, you know, is she actually a Chameleon, or are they just trying to make her think that she's a Chameleon? So, I'm not sure, but that was the last thing that I read.
I thought that the Chameleon was supposed to be Kraven's brother, number one.
They are, yeah, I think they still are, but yeah, but I think there's they make it seem like there's, like, a school where they take kids, and, like, I don't know, somehow they teach you, and then they must do whatever they do to give you the white, you know, face and all that stuff.
But I also thought that Peter's sister was only from that family business. I didn't realize she made her way into main continuity.
Yeah, in the last Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man, she started showing up in that.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, and she's been just recently kind of cemented into the actual continuity.
Okay.
But now I don't know if she's actually her sister or not, so.
Well, yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Or is she just a Black Widow?
Maybe.
Because that's, if there's a whole, like, is that the male equivalent to the Black Widows, the Chameleon?
Maybe. But that's it, Dave.
The Department of Truth, number 10. This is a start of a new story. It's Hawk Harrison takes Agent Cole Turner to the Forest of Oregon to hunt for Bigfoot.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. So we learn about it's called the Field Office, which is the cryptozoological branch of the Department of Truth, and the person who runs it, her name's Darla. And she's responsible for hunting down these, they call them wild fictions, which are either ghosts, aliens, or critters, which Bigfoot's classified as a critter. And, you know, she has to hunt them down before, you know, more people see them and start believing in them, so they become real. And then there's this parallel story with pages, it's a lot of reading, actually, the pages from a diary about a kid whose father, hunted for Bigfoot and, like, became obsessed with it. And he's grown up, the kid's grown up now, and he's also hunting for Bigfoot, and he's in the same area as the Department of Truth people. And, Darla, she takes out the Wild Fictions, and also, you know, if anybody gets in her way and sees them. So it was a really good issue. Next, The Autumnal, number 8. This is the final issue of this series from Vault. And they did a good job sticking the landing here. The inevitable, it was pretty, the conclusion was pretty inevitable, but it was really well done. The townspeople are about to sacrifice Kat's daughter, Sybil. And Sybil's run away into the woods, and Kat runs after her, and she finds this huge tree, which has these, you know, human-like characteristics, like a kind of like a skull head, and she has, and the branches are hugging the daughter around the waist of the tree, and it's Clementine Biddle, you know, the spirit of the forest. And Kat wants to make a deal that she offers to take the place. She says, "I'll take your place." And the tree, Clementine Biddle, thinks she means her daughter, but no, she means Clementine Biddle. She'll take the place of the spirit of the trees. And she accepts. The tree accepts, and then finds out she's not, Kat's not angry enough to take her place. But when Kat goes away, she finds the townspeople have stabbed her daughter, and then she's angry enough. And she, you know, she takes the place of Clementine Biddle, unleashes her tornado that wipes out the 32 kids who are in the rec center the townspeople sent away, so they weren't involved in
okay.
this. And I'm not really a horror person, but you know, there's no blood or anything in this, but it is real psychological horror. It was really interesting. Look forward to see what these creators do next. And lastly, and leastly, I think... as good as a crossover, as crossover was, this next book was so bad.
Uh-oh.
I knew it was bad when I bought it. I knew it was going to be bad. It was a question of how bad. But it's The Mighty Crusaders, The Shield.
Oh, the Rob Liefeld.
Rob Liefeld.
Is that the Archie book that came out?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Did you get it just because it was an Archie book?
Well,
and I felt compelled?
I felt compelled, yeah. Oh, let's see.
There's a drawing I saw online. It looked like it was missing a piece of a leg. And I was just like,
well.
Oh. Well, that is kind of his signature style.
I read it like three times. It's so quick. It's so quick, but I still don't really understand like what's going on. Because there's... It starts off at the first page with this guy, William Higgins, who's the original Shield. And then they show the current Shield, Victoria Adams, with her team, the Mighty Crusaders, Jaguar and Fly and Comet. And then they go to this other Shield, who I think is the Shield from the Impact Comics. DC like had these heroes in the 90s. Joe Higgins, and he's like he has his wrists tied up on this chair, and then somebody called the Burning Hand breaks in, and they start fighting because this Burning Hand person wants his armor, his indestructible armor. And it's like 8-page fight out of like a 20-page comic.
Is this all Liefeld?
Yeah, and it's all yeah. I think he had a co-writer, but he wrote it with a co-writer and drew it. There's no... Every page is like a splash page. And there are no backgrounds. There are no backgrounds. Maybe backgrounds on 2 pages.
A lot of smoke? Like a lot of smoke and debris? Is that as the background?
No, it was just like blank.
Oh.
Just like, no. Not even like smoke and debris or anything. So... It's been a while since I read something.
You won't get issue 2?
That bad. You know what? Rob Liefeld apparently left this book because he got mad about how they were promoting it.
Yeah, I know somebody else wrote dialogued it.
Yeah. So I don't know if hopefully he left in time. He left in time for the second issue. I think the story is like dealing with like all these the different versions of these characters, you know, and all the different iterations. But it doesn't make that clear at all in the book, and it was poorly written. That's it.
Okay. I read a couple more. One darling. Little One Source Point Press, really interesting cover, just nothing fancy, just a guy standing there, but it was really nicely done, kind of arty. Really bizarre. It started off talking about how his brother had died from a drug overdose, and a little like personal story right at the beginning, and then it went into this, and it's just really weird pacing. Starts off with this guy down in the subway. He's like got a music box and he has to kick it going, and then it starts, and then you go into the story with these two guys trying to score some drugs and about to break into this apartment, and it turns out it's his apartment and he's stealing his girlfriend's stuff to sell for drugs, and then later on he meets up with her to kind of apologize and that doesn't go well, and then it looks like he ends up down going into this drug den, but his last name was Darling. But just really weird book. Really, I'm not sure where it's going, what it's for, who the audience is. Just really, just seemed like very like 90s indie kind of style, but weird one. Parasomnia. It's also a weird one. This is although by Cullen Bunn. Very confusing, but you have this like homeless guy who's looking for somebody, and then like in this dream world, he's there and he's like this knight who's also looking for somebody. So it wasn't super clear, but you get the idea that he's delusional and having these two visions. You know, life is not necessarily what he's seeing. Interesting, but yeah, don't remember that one a whole lot. I read that a week ago and it did not stick. United States of Captain America. Oh, a whole lot of hoopla about this on Fox News, and I enjoyed that a little bit, just seeing the creators respond.
Like, did you actually read the book before?
Well, it wasn't that. It's like, instead of getting a comic book person to come on and talk about it, they got a comic. And it's like,
comedian?
They like, yeah, a comedian. And they like, so they like half-assed that as far as the, you know, the booking went. And
well,
the guy,
half of it.
The guy's saying, oh, now he's Captain Woke. And you know, it's like Captain America shouldn't be political, and it was kind of like
I did read this one.
Excuse me,
Captain America's been political since the 30s and 40s.
Since the issue one,
yeah. I was gonna say he's punching Hitler on the cover.
Yeah. Well, but
political,
which I'm really surprised. Never mind.
Yeah. So this one starts off with Cap is attacked by somebody, knocked him out, and stole his shield. And so he calls Sam. He's like, you know, help me. You know, guy, you know, stole my shield. They're kind of tracking him. Cap is on his motorcycle, kind of runs into him, and the guy throws his shield at a train. It was very dramatic. Thanks, Mike. I like the soundtrack.
Here comes the train.
I am. My apologies, podcast fans.
But so
they'll both forgive us.
Steve tries, and then another train is going to crash into the train, and Steve tries to get it to stop. So there's an accident. They're trying to get the people off the train, and then all of a sudden there's this other Captain America, and Steve thinks it's the guy who stole it, and Sam stops him, and it turns out it's just this kid who's riding the rails, but has always dreamed of being Captain America. So to escape from this, I don't know, homeless area, he paints a garbage can lid like the costume and uses that to escape. And now he's riding the rails and says there's a lot of other people out there. So basically inferring there's a lot of other people being Captain America out there trying to help people. And so now Steve and Sam are going to go on a mission, and they're trying to find his shield. And it'll probably lead to meeting more of these people. Yeah. I don't know. It's okay.
I liked it. I thought it was I like this notion that people are being inspired by Captain America to help other people.
Yeah. But I just didn't quite understand the purpose of it. Yeah, you're woke, Dave.
I guess I'm too woke. But.
Yeah, you're woke. When I think of woke, I think Dave. And then the last one I read was X-Factor 10. Having not read the last 8 issues of X-Factor, a little bit lost. Just who all the people were. They're referring to people in their normal names, so I don't know exactly, you know, I don't know a lot of these characters, nor do I know their regular names. I-Boy played a big role, and he got a new power. I'm not a fan of I-Boy, which is the main reason I didn't continue reading this book. But
then there's that guy. And
so yeah, kind of, exactly. That's kind of how I was reading it. But then at the very end, Tommy, one of the Scarlet Witch's kids, shows up.
Isn't it?
No, it wasn't Wiccan. It was the other one.
Speed.
Okay. Shows up just in time to find his mom dead. So that's the big leading into the trial of Magneto. This is the victim, was the Scarlet Witch, which I found really odd that you'd kill the Scarlet Witch right after she just had a very successful TV show. And apparently, and I'm like, well, they'll just resurrect her. You know, what's the big deal? Oh, she's not a mutant. I'm like, when did this happen? And so, yeah, a lot of things. So maybe it'll be clarified later, but that was the big hoopla, was that the death was in X-Factor 10, which had just been canceled. And this was the last issue, which kind of made me a little annoyed at Marvel. It's like, why would I order up on the last issue of a canceled book? But we should have ordered up, because now this is a hot book, because this is revealing the death. So
the Magneto killer, is that clear?
No, oh, not at all. Okay. You just find her dead. Okay. Where at the end of Sword, the previous week, had a little coda which it was the two of them talking. But there's no, I can't imagine there's a reason why Magneto would have killed her.
Quicksilver wouldn't be
a mutant either. Yeah. Right. I guess they were Inhumans. I don't know.
Didn't they?
I can't follow this anymore. Because I remember way back when, after House of M, Quicksilver was doing something with the Inhumans, trying to steal some of the Terrigen mists because he had been depowered. But I'm like, if he was depowered, then he was a mutant. You know, I don't know. Yeah. But I just found that really odd, because I'm like, what percentage of people are going to think that they're not mutants, especially when they were pretty much established as mutants in the Marvel cinematic world, which is partially the rules now. But I don't. I can't keep track. But that's all I read. But that's 5. Better than read lately. But.
Well, Colin, what's coming out next week that you're not going to read?
That hurts. That hurts a lot. Well, there are a couple that I laughed at. Because, well, one was funny because Wonder Girl that came out this week had the Pride Month variant, which was June.
Wasn't that last month?
Yes. And then we have 2 annuals that were scheduled for last week because it was the 5th week and DC came out with no books except annuals, except these 2 that slipped 2 weeks. But
can't plan these things.
Thank you, Pat. So we have the Action Comics annuals coming out next week. We have a ton of reorders. We have Detective Comics. We have the Flash annual. Infinite Frontier number 2. I still need to read number 1. We have Joker number 5. We have Rorschach number 10. That's the biggies from DC. Lots of reorders. A huge amount of reorders. And then coming from everybody else. Sorry. There's a lot of pages here. Pages are crap. Okay. There we go. We have Aliens Aftermath, which is whatever the company is, covered up what happened, and investigative journalists are going to go find out what happened in the original Alien movie, or Aliens, that Paul Reiser was covering up. We have Barbarella number 1, because we need a new Barbarella book, and I have covers coming A through V on that one. I'm glad they're starting to letter. Well, actually, I don't have all of them, but let's see. What I'm missing F, M-N-O-P-Q.
I always knew L-M-N-O-P was one letter.
Yeah. No, I have L, but not M-N-O-P-Q. We have Beyond the Breach. This one's from Aftershock, a story of a breach opens in the sky as this girl's on a trip, on a road trip, and she has to fight her way back. Bunny Mask number 2, very much looking forward to seeing where the heck that thing's going. New Sumerian one, Man-Eaters of Zamboula, which is their Conan knockoff. We have Excalibur 22, Extreme Carnage Scream, Ha Ha number 6, the last issue of that little series, which has been fun, is that the right word? Good, enjoyable. We have Man-Eaters Cursed, a 5-issue mini, continuing the Man-Eaters story from Image. Mighty Marvel Masterworks Fantastic Four graphic novel. These are the little, the smaller sized ones that they're doing that are really good, really nice price point. I did not realize it was one printing and that's it. So even though I ordered a lot, I didn't order enough of the Spider-Man.
Well, didn't they say the same thing about the Epic Collections at first, that they were only going to do
No, they never printing? Said those. Oh, yeah, they just kind of ended up being that way. But it's like, I ordered plenty, but not for the lifetime of my store.
That's, well, yeah, I'm sure if they get enough demand from stores.
Maybe, there. Hopefully. But yeah, that first one went back order, no reorders allowed. It was like, okay. Moths number 2 from AWA. We have Ninjak number 1 from Valiant. We have Savage Hearts number 1. Sad Brand is not here because that's from Aubrey Sitterston. Shadow Service number 8. Oh, wait, never mind. That's a reorder. Silver Coin number 4. Sinister War number 1, dun, 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 starting off the next Spider-Man event. 6 Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton number 2, I'm looking forward to that, I really like number 1. Skybound X number 2, that one's weekly from Image and Skybound. We have Star Wars Dr. Aphra, the Wabha tie-in. That's just what it says on the invoice, because War of the Bounty Hunters, but I enjoy seeing Wabha. And we have Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters number 2. We have Way of X number 4 and X Corp number 3. So those are the goodies we have. We're doing Boom Month just for something to do. So double points on all Boom Studios graphic novels. It's always a panic. It's like, what are we doing this month? Yeah, I wish I could plan these things out, but someday I'll sit down and plan.
You always have a backup plan, Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, yeah. But I have
12
spots.
Hey.
I don't have 12 Ant-Man books, sorry.
You should.
Pick a bigger character. Oh! Yeah. So.
Not Giant Man.
Oh, not Giant? No. It's funny, packing up my statues, I don't look at them often because they're in a glass case and you kind of walk by and look, but when I'm packing, every time I'm packing and unpacking is when I really look at them. And one of the ones I have was Ant-Man.
Teeny tiny thing?
It is a much smaller bust, but just, I always like it when I look at it, putting it away. But,
he has a little.
Hey, as always, you can the website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Mike, send us home.
And that's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.